Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, October the 6th, 2023. 15 and a half minutes past the hour, and it is a great day here on WGH Talk. Joined in studio, better late than never, by Matt Morgan. Matt, well, what happened this morning?
I set two alarms and woke up to neither of them.
Now, what is the problem here? What's going on?
I don't know.
Do you think you might have narcolepsy or something?
I don't think so. I don't like just fall asleep.
Do you hear the alarm at all?
If I do, I don't recall.
Well, wouldn't you have to shut it off?
I mean, yeah, in theory.
So, you did hear it?
I mean, if I woke up to the alarm and shut it off, I do not remember waking up to the alarm to shut it off.
Now, do you think a lot of people do that in the morning? They're tired. They're worn out. They hit the button. Like snooze used to be, but there is no snooze.
I think there's still a snooze.
People don't do it, though.
No, I don't think they do.
They just shut it off, because I think their intention is they're going to get up.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
But they don't.
No.
So here we are.
Yep.
Yeah. So, in hour number one, we were talking about a few things. The big prediction of the Ohio State homecoming game tomorrow we got from Buckeye Guy earlier today. OSU 35, Maryland 20. What do you think?
I think that's probably the closest score I've heard Buckeye Guy give so far.
Well, I think he has to start getting closer after the Notre Dame game.
What did he get for the Notre Dame game?
I don't know if we talked to him beforehand. I think we might have just talked to him after that game.
I mean,
think that's accurate?
Probably pretty accurate.
By the way, if anybody wants to chime in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right, and again, the prediction is OSU 35, Maryland 20 from Buckeye Guy earlier today. I think Maryland could really pull off an upset here.
I hope they do.
5-0.
That'd be exciting.
And Maryland has come very close in the past to beating Ohio State.
I always have to root against Ohio State.
Now, why is that?
Because Ohio State just... I don't like to root for a team that just always wins. Seems like it's a little boring, especially when, like, it's a team like Ohio State, when, like college in general, like, they just blow out the other person 90% of the time, and I just don't have fun watching one team get, like, put 45 points, and then the other team 7.
Do you like now that it's more competitive?
Yeah.
Because Ohio State isn't blowing people away, really.
It seems like Ohio State is... You think Ohio State's getting worse, or everybody else is getting better?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think Ohio State went through some rough times, and I don't think they have the coaching that they once had, and I think that other teams decided they don't want to lose all the time. Certainly Michigan decided that.
College football is just a big... College football just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, in the NFL, there's a cycle of teams that are good and bad because that's what the draft is for. The worst teams get the best college players because they get the best picks. At least in theory. But, like, in college, the best colleges get the best high school athletes because that gives them the best chance to make it to the NFL.
You know, I don't understand paying the college athlete. That still, to me, is a little shocking that people would do that. Because you're going to school there. That's the idea.
I don't know how many... I mean, I guess I don't know how many of them get, like, full rides or anything like that.
But it used to be you went there because you wanted to go to the school. It wasn't really about the sport.
Well, I think the majority of the people who play sports in college are there for the sport, not the college.
Now,
Now, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's because money has come in and television, notoriety, those sort of things, trying to get in the NFL.
I there's probably not a single, like, Alabama. Alabama has, they probably don't have a single wide receiver on their bench who wasn't a five-star wide receiver coming out of high school.
Why do you think Alabama is so good? What is it about Alabama? We don't hear much about Alabama for anything else.
It's because they're bad at everything but football.
College football.
Specifically college football.
And there they really excel.
Yep.
Now, why do people want to go to Alabama?
Alabama wins a lot, obviously, but it's more so, like, I think in college it's not so much about the school as much as it is the position. Like, Alabama produces wide receivers for the NFL basically every year, and they turn out pretty good almost every year. Whereas Ohio State produces wide receivers, and they turn out, like, okay every year as well. But, like, Ohio State's more known for, like, defensive end, whereas Alabama doesn't, and to my knowledge at least, has maybe one defensive end in the NFL.
How many people actually go onto the NFL who play college football?
There's undrafted things and stuff like that, too, but, like, there are 32 teams with 53-man rosters. If they have their entire roster full.
Now, how many college teams are there?
Hundreds.
So, that's where it gets chopped off. Does anybody... can you walk on in the NFL anymore?
You can, but it's not very likely.
Why is it coaches do not translate well? Very rarely does a college coach ever become a head coach in the NFL.
There's a lot more to worry, to pay attention to when you're a head coach in the NFL. Like, in college, there's a lot of, like, you don't have to really, in college, you don't have to so much, I don't want to say you don't have to, like, coach your players as much, but, like, like, it's just a little bit easier. Like, you have to get one foot in bound instead of two. The time stops as soon as, like, if it's an incomplete pass, time stops. Complete pass, time stops. It stops no matter what until you line up at the line of scrimmage. Like, there's just things like that. There's also, like, a lot of one reads. You don't have to design such complex plays. The defense is going to be simplified a little bit. Then you get to the NFL and they're throwing complex things in. Scheme fits, designed, like, you know, that kind of thing.
So where do head coaches in the NFL come from? Not a lot of former players.
Usually they are just, like, coaching staff. Like, NFL coaching staff who have been around the NFL for a while.
So you just have to work your way up.
Yep.
Why do you think most former players do not make good coaches?
I don't know that it's that they don't make good coaches. I just think they don't get a chance to be coaches. The Tennessee Titans coach, Mike Vrabel, he played in the NFL. Can't think of his name, but the interim head coach for the, Colts, when they fired their head coach, he was a former offensive lineman for them, and he did well.
Now, they make the former players broadcasters all the time.
That they do.
For what purpose, I have no idea.
People love to hear the people that they watched play talk about football, I guess.
Is it stories? What expert analysis could they possibly be giving?
They'll probably give you, like, they'll tell you about how, like, if somebody got a pick, they'll tell you how they read the throw off the quarterback based off of some coverage or something, that kind of thing.
I don't know, though. Those game day shows, I don't think are quite as popular as they used to be.
I'm not sure. I mean,
a lot of people used to watch those. But I don't know if they do anymore.
I mean, everybody I know still watches football, so.
Well, they watch football, but I don't know if they really care about the people who are there at halftime or before the game or coming after the game.
At halftime? I don't think so. I think they're there for the football.
Yeah. So I don't know why they even have these people there giving some kind of analysis of what's went on.
I think it's just they're just known people who can give a good analysis. So the people who do watch... I guess they get a good understanding, but everybody else just doesn't matter.
Now, did you hear that next weekend McDonald's will be giving away 4-piece chicken nuggets for $1 if you buy anything?
I did, yeah.
I think trying to get their new sauces out there, their Mambo sauce and their sweet and spicy jam.
Good names.
Do you know what they are? What is Mambo? Mambo sauce?
Yeah, I don't know. I was about to ask you the same thing.
I have no idea. it's burgundy in color.
Really?
Yep. So, well, the sweet and spicy jam is more of a red. The Mambo is kind of a burgundy.
The jam might be just some kind of, like, pepper jam.
Then it says, don't forget the other classics, barbecue, sweet and sour, and ranch. They don't even put honey on here. But they sell honey, or they give you honey.
Well, that's because I don't think the honey is considered a dipping sauce. I think they give it for, like, pancakes and things like that.
Honey mustard's not on here either.
And that's because nobody likes honey mustard.
I don't like honey mustard. But I like pure honey on the nuggets.
I like honey. Honey's good.
That's why I go to McDonald's if I'm going to get nuggets. Because that's the sauce I want, and no other place has honey.
Once again, I don't think that's classified as a sauce to them. I think they just give it to you because you asked for it.
Why would you put honey on pancakes?
Why would you put syrup on pancakes?
Because it's pancake syrup.
It's honey. It's good on anything.
You know, I had a whole conversation the other day about somebody who was still very upset that there's no Aunt Jemima syrup or pancake mix anymore. Even though it really is still there. It's just called, I think, Pearl Milling Company. Well, why are people so hung up on these characters?
I don't know. I've thought about that, too. It might just be because it's just how it's been their entire life.
Yeah, but if you like the food, don't you just like the food?
I would think so. I mean, I kind of forgot about the whole Aunt Jemima thing, period.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this makes me wonder. Do people buy things not because of how good they are, just because of who's selling them or what the kick is? Like, you know, I think about Arnold Palmer tea, and I think about things like that. Is that really why people are buying it? It's not really that the product's all that great. They just like the fact that a name is on it.
I think they like the fact that it's named after Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, but what is it supposed to do? If you drink the tea, you're supposed to play as good a golf game as Arnold Palmer?
I have no idea. He said that Arnold Palmer said that he drank them for some odd reason that it did something, but I have no clue. I think he's just lying to himself.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think of all these products in the grocery store, a lot of people have got involved in food products. Certainly, Paul Newman does his thing, and you see a lot of people during the holidays selling their stuff. Martha Stewart.
Doesn't Dolly Parton have cake mix now?
Oh, yeah, Dolly Parton's got. And people will buy. It's cake. It's the same cake mix without her face on it. But because it's got Dolly Parton's face on it, it's Dolly Parton cake mix. But what I don't understand is you throw the box away anyway.
I don't know. I think there are a decent number of people who probably just buy products based on the packaging. Making the marketing team look good.
Well, apparently, you know, that's what it's all about. Commercials and box design and that whole thing.
I guess so.
Maybe this is why a lot of people don't buy generic. They want real Rice Krispies. They want real Captain Crunch.
I mean, obviously there's a few that aren't the same, but I think that for the majority of the time, if you buy something that's off-brand, it tastes just like the, I guess, regular brand.
So why do we ever buy the on-brand that costs more? If it tastes the same.
I buy mainly off-brand stuff because it's just cheaper and it tastes the same. There are a few things like mustard. I won't buy off-brand mustard. It has to be French's mustard. Specifically, French's mustard.
What about Grey Poupon?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a high-dollar mustard.
I'll stick to the French's.
High-end.
I'll stick to the French's.
Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Why is it? Do you buy generic or do you buy regular? which is the way to go here? 740-383-9944. Regular or generic? And are we buying regular just because of the characters? Are you really all that upset that Aunt Jemima is no longer on the syrup bottle?
I mean, I wouldn't think so, but I think there are people who are.
Do we buy Mrs. Butterworth just because she's the bottle shaped like a woman?
I think as a kid, I probably had asked my mom to buy that because I liked the bottle.
Yeah, it's all marketing. Marketing's really where it's at. It's not in the culinary department. It's in the marketing department.
Yep.
740-383-9944. We had somebody call in yesterday talk about how they went to Dollar General and because of digital coupons, got a bunch of cat food, bunch of diet soda, and toilet paper for under 20 cents.
Under 20 cents.
So what do you make of the whole digital coupon craze? Now, this is, I believe, was the Dollar General store.
I knew that Dollar General had digital coupons. I don't use them. I don't use digital coupons in general anyways. I don't want to spend my time on an app dedicated to a grocery store and then look through it and clip coupons.
Do we know why this digital coupon thing has happened?
Because I think it's becoming a lot of, like, media over paper, so, like, paper coupons are, like, what do you need a paper coupon for when you can just hit clip and then scan this and then boom, it's in there.
But a lot of people don't have access.
I mean, yeah, but that's not a them problem. I don't think that they necessarily care.
I don't know. I would think it'd be more difficult because so many things can go wrong in a technological world.
I mean, I agree, but, like, I don't think that the corporate of any business who has digital coupons genuinely cares.
No, but you can get some really good deals, hence the 20 cents.
So it seems, yeah.
So I guess the people who are able to take advantage of that are doing very well.
I just don't understand how they expect people to have enough time to just, like, I'll use the Kroger app, for example. You know how many digital coupons are on the Kroger app?
A lot.
They expect people to sit there for, like, at least 45 minutes just scrolling through digital coupons.
Why don't they just have a button where you can clip all?
I don't know, but there's a limit to how many you can clip on the Kroger app. I don't know what it is, but you can't just go through and clip every coupon.
Now, I was going to ask you, I was watching a show yesterday. I can't remember who was in it, but I thought this was interesting. The person had written a book. That's why they were on. And the question was, apparently this person went around the country and was asking people, what would make you happy? And people really had no answer to this question. So what would be your answer to this question?
What would make me happy?
What would make you happy?
I don't know. I'm pretty happy right now. I mean, there's not much going wrong.
Well, is that the sign of happiness? Nothing going wrong?
I mean, things don't really need to go in your favor to be happy. I'm content. I'm chilling.
Well, I don't know. See, it's interesting that people have a hard time answering this question. What would be happiness to you?
I think most people don't have an answer of what would give them happiness.
But they will tell you when they're unhappy.
Well, yeah, because I guess it's noticeable. I don't think that they maybe know what will make them happy.
Well, why not, though? If you're unhappy, you would think you would know what would make you happy.
I mean, not necessarily. Like, I'm sure it's possible to make you mad, but could you tell me something that makes you, like, angry?
Well, no, because I don't think there are very few things that would make me angry, but I think that's an easier thing to avoid, because you purposely are avoiding anger. But happiness is something you want. So if you want it, you should have an answer for that.
I think a lot of people want to be rich. They don't have an answer of how to get there, though.
See, I think rich is a... I don't... Why would that make you happy? Because there's a lot of problem in the rich department. You know, you will have a lot of people coming at you who you don't know if they're sincere or not. You really don't have to achieve anything anymore. Sometimes it's harder because you get a reputation of having all the money. A lot of times you get the money and find out you're still miserable, and that's not good to find out. I don't know. I think money is a very iffy thing to make you happy.
I didn't say that money would make them happy. Just, I think that they want it, and there's no answer on how to get it. People want to be happy. I don't know that they just know how to get there.
But don't you think that's how we get involved with people in our life, whether it's a relationship or whether it's a family member or whether it's a friend? Whatever it is, that's who we get involved with in a job. That's how we get involved with people in life, because we think that that's going to be a better financial situation, and we're really not looking at the person.
Well, I don't know that that's why everything happens.
It's a big driver for a lot of people.
I mean, it might be for a lot of people, but I wouldn't say most people.
If you know that marrying one person will allow you to stay home from work, and you don't want to work, be a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, whatever it is, and you know marrying another person is not going to allow that, well, are you really making a decision based on the person, or are you making a decision based upon the money? And that could come back to bite you, because maybe the person who doesn't have as much money is the better person.
What?
If you have two people, and one has a lot of money, and the other does not, now one could let you stay at home. Let's say you don't want to work. You want to be a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad. Well, with this other person, you know you can't do that because they don't make enough money to support the both of you. So you choose the one who can afford that. But that might not be the best person. You chose them because of their financial constraints or package. The other person might actually be the better fit.
I mean, I'm sure that there are a decent number of people who would have picked the person who had less money that they probably liked more than the person that had more money that they probably liked less.
I don't know. I see an awful lot of Facebook posts, and even when they're not about money, they're about money. You know, we went here. Well, you had to pay to go there. We ate here. Well, you had to pay to eat there. This person bought this. Well, they bought it. I don't think those are meant to be financial posts, but they are.
I mean, I think it's more of like a, hey, we had fun at this place, or hey, thank you this person for buying me this.
Right, but what if somebody cannot do that? Cannot afford to take you there, cannot afford to buy those gifts for you, but is a much better person. So you don't ever really end up liking or knowing if you truly like that person who's buying all the things, because basically your whole thing is predicated on financials.
I mean, I don't think that the majority of relationship is based on finance.
I'm not just even saying relationships. I'm saying family members. I'm saying parents. I'm saying friends. You know?
I don't think you base that kind of thing off of finances.
A lot of people do. When you get to a certain point of life, if you've got no money and that's causing you a lot of stress, that might be a big, big thing for you.
I think those are probably the people that are miserable with their life, because they're probably hanging around people who they don't actually like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why money, I feel, is a bad thing to base things in.
I don't think that most people do that, though.
Well, I think the older you get, you do. I think when you're young, you don't. Because it's much more altruistic when you're young. But I think once you go through a bad marriage, or you have a friend from high school who you're no longer friends with, and you're looking for the next thing...
I think everybody who's ever graduated from high school has a friend that they don't talk to anymore.
Yeah, but how many times have you heard the story about, I had to get away from them, they didn't have a job, they didn't work, they didn't... You're not really telling me anything that they've done bad to you. You're just telling me they put you in a bad financial situation.
I don't understand how your friends put you in a financial situation.
Well, a lot of friends will depend on other friends for money. Borrow money. go places with their friends.
It just seems like a simple solution to whereas if I don't have the money to loan you, I'm not going to loan you the money.
Right, but again,
but that's not,
what if the this friend would do it?
But that's,
are you friends with them because they're giving you money and buying the dinners and buying you things? Or are you friends with them because they're a good friend?
I'm sure there are people who are friends with people because they buy them things, and I don't even know that they know that they're friends with them because they buy them things. But I don't think that that's how the majority of friendships happen.
Well, I don't know.
The majority of my friends I met at work or at school.
Well, right, but how do you think that's going to go as life goes on?
What do you mean?
Well, as these friends come and go.
I mean, I don't know, things happen. I'll get over it. It'll be okay.
I think you'd be surprised how much money plays into it. People will do just about anything for money if they need it.
I mean, you gotta have money to live, I guess.
Yeah, but what kind of lifestyle do you want?
Who?
Anybody. I mean, I think it's based on the lifestyle you want. Do you want to have a big house? Do you want to own property? Do you want to drive a certain type of car?
I think owning a big house is just a waste of finance. What do you need a house that's big? Like, people who own, like, I don't know, like, 12 bedroom mansions with, like, 6 bathrooms. Like, you have 3 people in your family. What do you need that house for? Go buy a 3-bedroom house.
Well, I think it's back to money. I think they like the ability to have money.
But you lose the ability to have money when you bought a house that was worth $5 billion because it has all kinds of bedrooms and it's so nice.
Yeah, but owning property is having money.
No. Houses are not money.
All I know is most people I know did not make the decisions in their life based upon people. They based it in, a lot of times they based it in money. A lot of times they based it in a personality type. You know, and that's why I think in a lot of cases it doesn't work out.
You think people make money a personality type?
No, they don't make money, but if you think, well, that person is right up my alley. We like to do the same things. Okay. Well, I don't know that that makes them a good person, because you're not doing things all the time.
I'm confused.
Like, okay, I like this person because they like to go to water parks. So we go to a water park once a week. Well, what are you doing the other 6 days? What if the person's just horrible? I guess on the 7th day you get to go to the water park, which you enjoy.
I mean, I don't think... See, I just don't think that most people would get in a relationship with somebody who they have, like, no common or, like, no shared interests.
I think once you fail, you do. You gotta go through a few and fail, and then you start saying, okay, well, why am I failing?
I have no clue.
It's an interesting question.
So you think finances play, like... Would you say it's the number one rule in choosing relationships or friendships or that kind of thing?
When you're older. When you're over 25.
Why?
Because one of the reasons you probably initially like the person is the type of car they drive, where they take you to dinner when you first hang out with them, the type of things you're doing when you're hanging out with them. You can tell who's got it and who doesn't. Where they live. And how many people give people money? Gift cards, gift certificates, all kinds of things, just to be impressive to them. Well, what do you think that's all about?
I have never... What makes you think that if somebody gives you a gift card, that it's to impress you?
If it's somebody who you know likes you, you know why they're giving it to you.
I've never... I've never even
They aren't
heard,
giving it to everybody else.
I've never heard of somebody just randomly out of the blue gifting somebody a gift card.
I've seen people hand people money. Send them money in the mail.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Yeah,
that,
it happens.
Never heard of it. I don't think it happens as much as you might think it does.
Well, if I see it, I would assume it happens more than just with that person.
I mean, I've never seen it at all, so we've got one-to-one
right now.
But
you're not
now.
Far along in the lifespan.
Okay, so how many times have you seen it in your life?
Well, I didn't count them all, but enough to know it happens.
Maybe three.
No, more than that.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Give me your best guess.
Well, quite a bit, because it's very interesting how, you know, it comes in many forms. You know, oh, here's flowers that show up at your work. Well, those flowers weren't free, and the delivery wasn't free. Well, what's that all about? Because I really think you want flowers? No, I'm trying to impress you.
Who's just paying to have
How do flower shops stay in business?
Dropped off at somebody's house.
Call flower shops. All day long it happens.
Just go pick up the flowers and take them there yourself.
No, because if they're delivered to work, then the people take a picture of them, and then, oh, isn't this great? And you can put it on your desk, and the people say, well, who got you those flowers? There you go.
No. No.
Yeah. Now, that happens all the time.
See, that's something that happens in movies.
No, that happens in real life.
I don't think it does.
Oh, it does.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
I've been at work when flowers have been delivered to people. When I worked at the bank years ago, people used to get flowers delivered to them all the time. School?
I think there have been flowers delivered to one person at school, but it was just... I don't remember why. It was like homecoming or something.
Well, how do you think flower shops stay in business?
By charging $12 for a single rose during Valentine's Day?
Well, you gotta stay in business longer than just Valentine's Day. You're open all year round.
Look, man, I'm gonna open a floral shop and just sell roses. Or Valentine's Day.
Call a flower shop sometime and say, what's the wait on delivery? And I bet you there's a wait.
They probably don't do delivery.
They all do delivery that I know of.
I've never met a flower shop that does delivery. Or my mom just go gets it.
Hemmerly's does it. Merriam Flower does it. Fuzzy's does it.
I guess my mom just... I don't know. My mom just goes and gets them. I don't buy flowers. They die in 2 days. There's no point in buying them.
Right, but just because you're not doing it doesn't mean nobody's doing it.
I think that less people do it than don't do it.
I don't think flower shops could stay in business.
Why?
How do we support three flower shops if no and a delivery running out every day if nobody's doing it?
I said less people than more people.
Well, I'm sure it's not the majority of people, but it's thousands of people every month. That's a lot of people.
I mean, on a monthly basis, it's not all that many people.
What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think people send people flowers? Do you think people ever did that? How do we support all these flower shops in town if nobody's buying them?
The only time I've ever heard of somebody being sent flowers is in a movie.
Call a flower shop.
Just call a flower
shop. Call a flower shop and try to order flowers. And say, I want these delivered on this date. And I bet they're going to say, well, we have this time available and this time available. We can't get that out until tomorrow because we're all booked up today.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you'll find out.
I don't believe it.
Well, this is checkable.
I'm sure that people do, like, do it. But, like, I don't know how many people truly order flowers.
A lot.
I can't be that many people.
Well, as I say again, how do these places stay in business?
There are a lot of places that stay in business that nobody goes to.
Flowers go away pretty fast. That'd be a bad business to be in if you weren't having a quick turnover.
Who goes to Long John Silver's?
Well, they've got cars in the parking lot every day.
I think those are the employees.
No, people go there.
No, I don't think so.
So you think people just stay open to what? Pay electric bills and gas bills and employees?
Every time I've ever gone into a Long John Silver's or in a Long John Silver's drive-thru, there's nobody.
So everything in your life is based upon your perception.
Experience.
But you weren't... Okay, so you can have no experience about, like, World War II because you weren't there.
I mean, true.
But that's not true.
But you learn... What?
You learn about it.
Yeah.
You do research, you find out. Now, just because you weren't there doesn't mean it didn't happen.
It's
and
not
you can't
experience.
Have an opinion on it. No, but you can call the flower shop. Now, just because you're not sending flowers doesn't mean it's not happening.
I don't think it happens as much as you think it happens.
Well, I don't even know what you think. I think it happens.
You said thousands.
Thousands, yeah.
Thousands.
In a month, yeah.
I'd give it hundreds, maybe.
It's enough. It comes back to, I don't know why we're off on this tangent anyway. The original point was that you send people flowers to impress them. Why else would you do that?
I don't know. I don't even know why flowers are a business.
Well, it's made a lot of people rich.
Go pick some weeds. They look the same and they're free.
Well, that's more of an opinion.
They look the same. What's the difference between a weed and a flower?
The bloom, I would think.
I think the only difference is one grows where you don't want it to.
Well, I think you want a bloom, is what it is.
What is a bloom?
The flower that blooms, the color, the whatever it is.
Like dandelions or weeds, they bloom.
Most girls, if you ask a girl, what's your favorite type of flower, they're going to give you an answer.
I couldn't even name a kind. I can name a few. Rose, tulip, carnation. That's about it.
Coming from Mary out here, my best friend Polly is a delivery driver for the Marion Flower Shop. She's busy all day long delivering flowers.
I don't think
Boy, Matt,
that's as,
I don't know how that happens.
I don't think it's as relevant as a business as you think.
Well, I just read what a delivery driver said. In Marion, Ohio, for Marion Flower, busy all day long delivering flowers.
I don't think... But the majority of delivery takes a whole 2 seconds, okay? Getting there takes time. Driving around takes all the time.
Well, I think it's probably local.
15 minutes a trip. That's 4 trips in an hour.
Right. So think of how busy they are in a day. An 8-hour day.
So every week, there'd probably be about just under 100 people? Just over 100 people?
Well, I don't know. You'd have 4 every hour. 4 multiplied by 8.
4 multiplied by 24.
By 24.
I mean, well, yeah, because I guess there's only... How many delivery drivers are there?
Well, apparently one.
Oh, only one?
Okay, so you have 4 every day. Let's say 4 an hour. 8-hour day. So you get 32 deliveries a day. Multiplied by 5 days a week. That's over 150 deliveries a week. That's over 600 deliveries a month. Every month.
It's well under the thousands that you quoted it at before.
Well, that's just one shop. We got 3 in Marion. So there you go. Take 600 and multiply that by 3, and you got 1,800.
No.
That's well over 1,000 people.
We probably sell around 1,200 flowers a month.
Who?
Just, like, the flower shops.
Yeah, probably.
There's not that many flowers.
16. Well, and it's bouquets. I mean, you're not sending one flower. Plus, you're paying for the vase, you're paying for the delivery, you know, the whole thing.
Once again, never met anybody in my life who has ordered flowers.
Well, call Polly over at Marion Flower, and she'll tell you all about it.
I'll ask.
Yeah. Well, why would somebody make that up?
Make their business look better? I'm not sure.
I think she works there. I don't think she... owns the business. But in the original point, don't you think people do things just strictly based on financials?
No.
They don't buy... So all these flowers going out every day, they're just doing it to be nice?
I don't think they're doing it just to flex their money.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what do flowers represent?
Nothing.
There you go. I guess it's just the ability that I can do it.
I think they buy people flowers because people like flowers.
Right, but it's a little more pricey than buying somebody candy or getting them a card. I mean, you would personally deliver that. You know, flowers are going to be in the 40, 50, 60, 70.
I don't understand why you don't just personally deliver the flowers.
I don't know. Why do you tip the person who cuts your hair, but you don't tip the person who checks out your groceries? I don't know. We have weird norms in society.
You're supposed to tip people who cut your hair?
This explains a lot.
My parents cut my hair, okay? My parents give me the good old shave, okay? Well, I guess my dad, not my parents.
Yeah, if you pay for a haircut, it'll say tip.
What? That's crazy.
Why do you tip the pizza man? Why do you tip the haircut person? Why do you tip the server in the restaurant, but you don't tip the checkout person at Walmart? You don't tip the...
I think the idea behind those are, like, I know a person who worked at Denny's, and she made, like, a solid, like, $4 an hour plus tips.
But people who cut your hair, they make regular wages. The man delivering your pizza makes regular wages.
Do delivery drivers make actual, like...
Yeah.
How much more money do delivery drivers make?
Well, I don't know. Quite a bit if you go around looking at their... They're trying to get them now. They pay them mileage.
Man, I might go be a pizza delivery driver.
Well, you crack up your car doing it. I think that's why a lot of people don't like to do it.
Driving...
Yeah.
Driving's fun. There's nothing wrong with driving.
I think it's wear and tear on the car is what people don't like. Plus, you know, Bob, who was in the pizza business, talked about how, you know, it's a rigorous job. You run into some weird people delivering things to people's houses. Plus, you have to find the house, and
I know in bigger,
food can't get cold.
I know in bigger cities, they just rob pizza delivery people.
There you go.
How are you going to rob a pizza delivery man?
That's where all that big money is.
Yeah, that's where all the finances are in the pizza delivery company.
Well, think of all the money that people put into pizza. $20 a pizza?
Pizzas cost nothing to make.
I think that's why there's so many pizza shops and they're successful.
Yeah, that's
even if the pizza's not very good.
People, they just charge way too much for the pizza that they paid basically nothing for.
Again, marketing. All comes back to
marketing. What do you mean marketing? It's the same pizza that the other 12 people sold you.
Well, no, I think pizza's different.
It's cheese, crust, and pizza sauce.
No, I could tell the difference between a Domino's pizza and a Little Caesar's pizza. Easy. Donato's and Little Caesar's, Donato's and Papa John's, you can tell the difference easily. Different types of sauce, different types of crust.
I don't know. I don't eat pizza. Not good.
Well, this could be why this is a bad subject for you.
I think they all taste poor.
Well, because you don't like pizza.
I don't like pizza sauce.
But what do you like? Pumpkin pie.
I like chili.
Chili?
Chili's
pretty. Is there a certain type of chili you like?
No. I like chili. Just good.
Go ahead, caller.
It's not just marketing. It's convenience.
There you go.
Selling the convenience of having something hot and delicious delivered to your door.
But it's
everybody
not.
Everybody nowadays wants the convenience. They don't want to work for it.
Right, but it's not really the product.
No, your young friend there could certainly, you know, work and knock out a pizza for, you know, 20 cents on the dollar as to a home delivery one. But is it going to be as good, or is it going to be as work as much... delicious. I mean, people want convenience. They pay for convenience. Now, that's why Amazon delivers stuff to your door, whether you go out and shop for it. People want convenience.
What do you make of flowers?
I think flowers are a great thing because it is a big business. And people, and you send flowers to somebody, not so much to how much you care, but it impresses their friends that somebody cares for that person.
Exactly. That's why you send them to work. How many people send flowers to somebody's house? It's always to their job.
Few. Yeah, you know, maybe, you know, if they're home or if it's a special occasion. But no, you send them to your work, and that way you get the bonus of not only sending the flowers, but to get the, that person gets built up in front of their friends as being somebody who is loved and appreciated by others.
I think you're right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Great.
We got to go to break. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. Pastor Craig will be on, and then we'll be back for the noon show. Don't go anywhere.
Consider this source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.
And then onward and upward. I like
I mean,
this.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I think that nobody likes criticism. But sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come?